Welcome to the Ray of Hope Church podcast. We believe that hope changes everything, so get ready for an encouraging message from the Word of God. We pray that you would receive wisdom and revelation as you grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Good to see you this morning. Hey, I feel like I've been in church already. How about you? So great to be here. 2 weeks ago, I was preaching in Arkansas, and so I never preached in this church before, and I was introducing Carrie. So Carrie was at my left like she is today, and so I had her stand, and I said, "This is my wife, Carrie. She's prettier than me. She's smarter than me," and I went through all that. So after the service that afternoon, the pastor there said, "Let me tell you something, Mike. There was an older man in the church and said, you know that preacher that preached for us for the first time today, he really told the truth. That she is a lot prettier than he is and smarter." And then he said this, "Did she lose a bet? You know, what was that?" You know, that made me feel really good. I tell you what, it made me feel really good. Staying with me this morning, I want to speak to you out of the psalm and then shift gears and go to another passage. But this is an amazing passage for me. This is 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Could we read that together? Here we go. God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Now, here we go. We're all going to do it together. A lot of enthusiasm. Here we go. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, look at the last three words, help in trouble. How many of you have ever needed help in trouble? Okay, how many of you have ever been in trouble? Okay, six people here has been in trouble. I got a sneaky feeling we've all been in trouble. How about you? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your amazing grace that we've heard about today. Thank you for loving us and caring for us. And Lord, we just appreciate your care amongst each and every one of us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Turn to your neighbor and say, "I'm glad you're here today." So I thought about us needing help, and so I brought some pictures with me that I think there are some people who need help. So here's the first one. How many of you think that this guy on the left here is going to be in trouble? That's why we need emergency rooms, right? And the guy with the dog, it seemed like a good idea until the cat ran out in the road. I think he's going to have to see a dentist before long. So here's the next one. The guy, I think, doesn't understand the concept of wheelbarrows. And the other one, the guy on the board is fixing to have a rude awakening. I think these guys need help. So here's one more. This is going to be my favorite ones. Why women live longer than men? Because we do dumb stuff. But just to be equal in this moment, this lady to my right is filling up a container full of gas in a laundry basket. How long is it going to be till she realizes that's not going to hold the gas? If I believed in evolution, I believe we're in the time of de-evolution. We're just getting dumber. All right, I have a few witnesses out there. But look at this psalm. We need help. And God is willing to help us. And I think God is saying, "I can help you with that." With Carrie and I, you know, marriages, we've had to have help in marriage, finances, raising our kids. You know, life doesn't give you an exemption. Everybody's going to go through some difficulty. Matter of fact, Jesus said this is John 16:33. He said, "In this world, you will have tribulation." He didn't say you might have it. He said you will have some tribulation in this world. But the intensity of Psalm 46 really gets a little bit deeper than that. He says this in the following verses after we read. He says, "Even though the earth may be removed, the mountains shake, the nations rage." Verse 10, he said, "Be still and know that I am God." Verse 11, "The Lord of hosts is with us." So God is saying to us, "I'm going to be with you no matter what you go through." And that's a comfort to me. that I am going to have God on my side as I walk in His way and walk in His will. He will never leave me and He will never forsake me. He's going to be with me even in the midst of my trouble. You know, one of the things that I think God helps us with and it's going to help us is He increases our faith. So one of the primary things God does for us is that He allows us to have a faith to another level. He increases our faith. And when our faith doesn't expand, it limits our possibilities and our opportunities, and they begin to decline. Now, one of the classic examples here is in Numbers 13. So if you have your Bible, if you want to flip over to Numbers 13, we're going to go through that entire chapter. I'm not going to read it all, but I'm going to look at some of the main things that we need to observe and get in our heart. So these people are on a journey. They've left Egypt. They're going to Canaan, or the Promised Land. This is Numbers 13, 1 and 2. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send men to spy out, search out, explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one a leader among them." So let's look at this. The first thing God says is, "I'm going to give you a land." This is a done deal on God's part. So track with me. God said, "I'm going to give you this land." How many believe deal's done? So what God says is a promise. He's not lying. He's not going to back up. He said, "This land is yours. This is a done deal. Israel, you've been in bondage for over 400 years. You've been in slavery. You have been subservient to the Egyptians. I'm bringing you out. But you have no homeland as of yet. You have an inheritance there. You have a heritage there through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. But now I'm going to give you this homeland that you don't have. I'm going to help you out with this. Because you have to have a place to go to. You need a place called home." How many of you know everybody needs a place called home? And He says, "I'm going to help you with that. But you have to believe, you have to engage the promise, or you're going to be in trouble." Now, the thing that Moses does in a charge to these people who are going to spy out the land, this is verse 17. "Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, 'Go up this way into the south, go up into the mountains, see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell there in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is poor or rich, rich or poor, whether there are forests, there are not. Be of good courage, bring some of the fruits of the land.' Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes." So they go, they spy out the land for 40 days. They're here, they're there, they're north, they're south, east and west. And when they return, they show the results of their exploration. They return with the proof of the fruit, and that's what Moses said, pomegranates, figs, and clusters of grapes. One cluster of grapes is so large, they have to carry it on a pole between two men carrying the cluster of grapes. How many of you have ever seen that cluster of grapes at Homeland? Or Walmart? Or Sam's? I mean, this is amazing. I mean, this is so big, they have to come back and admit this is exactly what God said. Look at verse 27. "Then they told him and said, 'We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit.'" It's just what God said. It's just what God said. Now, if you look at verse 28, this is when the shoe drops. "Nevertheless," say that with me, "nevertheless." How many of you know we're fixing to go downhill right here? We don't use the term "nevertheless" much anymore, but we do use the term "however." Okay? So say that with me, "however." So God said we could have the land. This is the proof. It's exactly what He said it's going to be. But however, here's the however. "The people who live there are strong people. The cities are fortified. The giants, the descendants of Anak, are there. The Amalekites, Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites, Canaanites, Termites, they all live there." So He's saying, It's exactly what God said. This is the promise. But, however, there's some issues. Do you know when you get married, there's going to be some issues? Some of you who hadn't been married long enough, hang on, the train's coming down the track. You get a new job, there's going to be issues. Finances, there's going to be issues. Have children, there's going to be issues. How many of you know all children aren't just little saints growing up to be big saints? So whatever you do in life, there are going to be some issues, but the promise still stands. The offer's still there, even though there's going to be some hiccups along the way. So they said, okay, here's the however, and if you want to get past that horrible marriage, that dysfunction, that addiction, whatever it is, oh, I'm going to serve God, however, I'm going to get clean, however, we're going to have a good marriage one of these days, however, listen, you got to get over the however. And if you don't, you're going to perpetuate what you have year after year after year after year. Can I hear amen? So we all have howevers, but notice this. Are you facing your however with faith or fear? That's the key. So if I come against up against something, a giant in my life, how do I face that giant? Is it going to be with faith or is it going to be with fear? 12 men went on this expedition. 12 men. 10 came back with an attitude of fear. 2 came back with a testimony of faith. So how can these men see the very same thing, experience the very same thing, but they have 2 different conclusions of what they saw or what they experienced or how they're going to process it? Listen, fear can be overwhelming. Can I get a witness to that? Fear about life, fear about your kids, fear about your job. I mean, we all can get into that. George Patton, when he went from Africa up to Sicily, World War II, blood and guts Patton. How many of you ever heard of that guy? And he gets up into Sicily. He's going into Italy. One of the military governors that was put there, the Nazis had been there. They're trying to drive them out. And when Patton gets there, he says, General Patton, he said, I've heard about your bravery. You're just a man of courage. And this is what Patton said. He said, no, really, I'm not. He said, when the guns start firing, the gunshots go off, the cannons go off, and I get into battle, he said, I'm just as afraid as the next guy. He said, my palms begin to sweat. But he said, this is what I don't do. I never consult my fears. So if you start letting your fear talk to you, you will let your fear win. And so we have to answer fear with faith. I like the story of the little boy. Mom's putting him to bed one night. It's one of those nights like we've seen, you know, here a few days ago. It's lightning. It's thundering. I mean, it's booming. The house is shaking. She's tucking him in. And he says, Mom, would you sleep with me tonight? It's kind of scary out there. And she said, no, honey. He said, I have to sleep with your dad. And so as she walks away, he says, big sissy. I mean, it makes no difference how old we are. We face things that sometimes are kind of scary, right? And so we have to face that with our faith instead of our fear. And everyone here, including me, you can get caught up in your fears. And if you don't get that settled in your heart and your mind, your fear will dominate. Look at verse number 30 in this chapter. When Caleb, one of the spies, heard the negative report, he calmed the people down and said, let's go up at once and possess this land, for we are well able to overcome it. We're well able to possess it. So sometimes, notice this, we get all up in a dizzy. We get caught up in our fear, and someone has to come along and what? Calm us down. So that's what Caleb is doing. He's trying to calm down the congregation. He's trying to calm down a whole nation and say, hey, listen, don't get fearful about this. We are well able to take this land because God made us a promise. Now, verse 31, but the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. Listen, God can help you with your however. He can help you with your nevertheless. He can help you with your fear because God wants to help you. So you're here today, and I don't know what you're facing.
And maybe the person sitting next to you don't know what you're facing. It could be some huge insecurity that you should be concerned about. But listen, my friends, how you face that makes all the difference in the world. And how I face it makes all the difference in the world. Look at this. The people who live in fear quickly can turn the conversation to the negative. Have you ever been around some people that are always turning the conversation to the negative? Don't look around. Because it's true. I mean, there's so many people, maybe in your life, in my life, that you see one thing and they're going to take it to the negative spin. They're going to take it to the negative. Listen, they're looking for the problem instead of the opportunity. They're looking at what's wrong instead of what's right. They're looking at the flaw instead of what's positive. The glass is always half empty. How many of you know somebody like that? Don't raise your hand. But let me tell you, it is so true. Because if we get around that, that negativity can be extremely infectious. And let me show you why. Fear and negativity is infectious because if you flip the page to chapter number 14, the Bible says that entire nation, that entire congregation wept and cried all night long. Look at the first verse of the next chapter. They wept and cried all night long. Why? Because they believed the fear and they didn't move forward in faith. But if we get a hold of that, it literally changes our life. Because faith gives you access. If you don't hear anything I said this morning, you need to get this down in your spirit. Faith gives us access. When you have faith, and it's impossible to please God without faith, if you have faith, it is like a key that unlocks a door to give you access to the next thing you need. Because the enemy wants you to be in fear and never have what's available to you because he wants to paralyze us in fear. But if we have faith, it unlocks the access for us to move in to the next thing that we need. Now, fear causes us to retreat and wander for 40 years. Your attention, please. They could have left that day and entered into the promised land. But instead, you know what they did? They wandered around for 40 long years. If you will look with me at verses 32 and 33, one of the things that fear does, it exaggerates. How many of you know that if you get into fear, everything's bigger and badder and worse? So this is what they said. The land that's before us devours people. What? The land just swallows people up. I mean, me and Bob walking along, and all of a sudden Bob's gone. Land just swallowed them up. How many of you know that's in the Bible? Or that's what they thought. Then they said, not only does the land swallow us up, he says, the Nephilim, the giants are there. And we're like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. So how you see yourself is sometimes how other people see you. So you got to be careful how you see yourself. So after the service, the first one this morning, someone came up and said, Pastor, do you know how high a grasshopper is? And I said, I don't have that number. You know how tall a grasshopper is? And I said, no. And he told me how high a grasshopper was. He said, so if the giants were in comparison to what the grasshoppers were, if we shrink the Israelites down to the height of the grasshopper, he said the giants are 300 feet tall. How many of you know they weren't 300 feet tall? Matter of fact, the Bible says they're about 9.5 to 10 feet tall. But listen, if you think they're 300 feet tall, how many of you know that's an NBA guy? So he said, we were like grasshoppers in our sight, not in their sight, but our sight. And now they think they look like grasshoppers to their sight because we perceive it in our sight. Be careful what you think you are. Be careful how you see yourself. Because it will determine how you move forward, whether it is faith or it is fear. You see, faith rises up when we remember what God's done in the past. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever had God to come rescue you out of something? Yeah. How many of you have ever had God answer a prayer for you? How many of you ever had God do a miracle for you? And you didn't know how to figure it out. You didn't know how to turn it around. But somehow, some way, God turned it around. You know, a few weeks ago, we were preaching, and I said, we have to trust God's yes and his no. Both of them are very important. His no is just as good as his yes. So we had this personally happen in our family. I hadn't shared this with you, but my son Matt's wife, Stephanie, she thought next in line for a job at the state capitol there. She is an attorney for the Oklahoma Ethics Commission. And she thought, well, you know, my superior, the manager, the head of the agency is retiring, so I should be the next one up. Guess what? They hired outside the agency and got somebody else to come in. And she had to train her boss because the boss didn't know what to do because never been in. So she had to train her boss because she didn't get the position. She had to train her boss. How many of you know that would leave a bad taste in your mouth? So she said, but the boss is fine. I'm training the boss. So there was another job opportunity that opened up. She said, I think I'll just apply for it. So she applied for it, and she got the job. Now this is the kicker. She was told no on that job. So we leave disappointed. I didn't get the job. But the other job that she went and interviewed for and she got the job, she said it pays more money than the job I didn't get. It's closer to where I live than the job I had. They're going to provide me a car. And the benefits just went on and on and on. So sometimes, you know, we fear that we didn't get this. And all the time, God's got something else for you over here that's better. So can I tell you, maybe God's got something better for you if you'll just stay in faith. Don't get discouraged. Don't get down. Don't blame God. Just say, God, you're my God. You're a powerful God. I remember what you have done for me in the past. And because of that, I believe you're going to be good to me in the future. Now, do you realize that these Israelites that are crying all night long because they don't think they can enter into the promised land, do you think that maybe they forgot what God had already done for them? My friends, listen. God brought 10 powerful plagues on the nation of Egypt. I mean, he got them out with a strong hand. Would you agree? He parted the Red Sea so they could go through. He brought bread from heaven, water out of the rock, a cloud by day, fire by night. Well, I don't know if God can bring us into this land. What? Goodness gracious. How many of you think if you'd seen all that, you would say, well, if God could do that, he can do this. You say, well, I just don't know if that's the problem. Well, let me tell you. Numbers chapter 14, this is verse 11. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will this people despise me? And how long will they not believe in me in spite of all the signs that I have done among them? You know what he's saying? I can't believe that they don't believe me because look what they've already seen. Hey, what have you already seen? What have I already seen? Listen, I've already seen God do some great things in my life, in our family, with our kids. I believe you've seen that too. So just keep trusting God because God wants to help you with that. He wants to be the powerful God in your life. Here's another one. Faith is enacted when we believe and understand God's power. How many of you know you serve a powerful God? He's still on the throne. He hadn't lost any power in all the time you've known him. You say, well, now, Pastor Mike, I don't know. Well, listen to what they said. Verse 31, they said, we cannot go up, for these people are stronger than us. Let me give you a given. They are stronger than them. And your issues are stronger than you. But they're not stronger than the God you serve. You serve a God that's greater than anything you will ever face in your life. You serve a God that's bigger than anything that you will ever face in your life. You serve a God that's more powerful than anything you will ever face in your life. Do you believe that today? But this is what we have to realize. I have to factor that in my life. I have to factor that in my solutions. I have to factor that in my decisions. Well, Mike, I don't know if you can do that. Well, maybe I can't. But listen, I serve a God who can. I don't know if we can pull that off. Well, maybe I can't, but I serve a God who can. And greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Listen, when you got filled with the Holy Spirit, you know what you got filled with? You got filled with power. And you're facing your situations in the power of God. So they had to realize, even though the Amorites and the nations and the giants are there, you are still being led by the powerful God of the universe. And we have to realize that in our own life, because we will never, ever be enough on our own, and neither will you. You see, do we still believe in the miracle-working power of God? I hope we do. You know, one of the things that I think has happened in churches across America, and hopefully not you, I think a lot of people have quit believing that God is powerful. I think they quit believing in the miracle-working power of God. I think they quit believing in the signs and wonders of God. Listen, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the God we serve, and that's what we should believe. Now, one of the things that we have to ask ourselves, do we believe with God all things are possible? Do we believe that there's nothing that God cannot do, right? We believe that. We can get into impossible situations, but we serve a God that does beyond our possibilities. You see, in our culture today, some have taken the supernatural away by design and default. And let me explain that, by design and default. There's a lot of denominations and churches today that believe that what God did as the supernatural power of God working in people's life and in the church, in the early church, they believe he does not do that anymore today. Let me tell you what that's called. That's called cessationist. They believe God ceased doing those signs and wonders. And that's by design. But there's also this area of default. A lot of people have just quit believing. It's not a doctrinal thing. It's not a design thing. They just quit believing. And listen, we got to still believe that we serve that kind of God. How many of you know God's a healer? He's a miracle-working God. He can take your situation and mine and turn them around. And when we enact our faith when it's enacted, when we believe, we understand the power of God. One of my favorite stories, I read this many years ago, probably 20, 30 years ago. Tony Campolo told the story of going to a Pentecostal college. And he's going to do the chapel service that morning. He's going to be the guest speaker. And what they did is what we do this every Sunday. Whoever the speaker is, we gather back in the offices and we gather around the speaker, and it's kind of a holy huddle. And we get, there's probably 5, 6 of us, sometimes 7, 8 of us, and we get around and we pray together. So that morning at the Pentecostal college, Tony said, I went to the back and there was 8 men that came and gathered around me and laid hands on me, and they began to pray. And he said, and they prayed. How many of you know Pentecostals can pray? And said they prayed and they prayed and they prayed, and said one guy went off on a different prayer. And his prayer was, he said, Lord, you know Charlie Stoltis that lives down the road? He lives about a mile from here in that silver trailer house. Lord, Charlie needs help. He told me he was about to leave his wife and 3 kids. So Lord, you know, Charlie's down there in that trailer house a mile from here, and Lord, help him. And Tony said, I'm thinking, well, this guy went off on this rogue prayer. And number one, God doesn't need to know the address. He already knows the address. He already knows the guy. So he does the chapel service that morning. He said, when I finished, I got in the car and I'm getting ready to go home. And he said, I'm going down the road. And he said, I find a guy that's hitchhiking. So I thought, I'll give him a ride. And he said, I got the guy in the car, and we got to the turnpike. I turned on the turnpike, and he said, after a few minutes, he said, hey, my name is Tony Campolo. You know, your name is, he said, my name is Charlie Stoltis. And he said, I turned the car around. I headed back. And the guy said, where are you going? He said, I'm taking you home. He said, you just left your wife and 3 kids. And he said, the guy slid over by the door. And he said, I drove down the road, and I drove a mile from that college, and on the right, there's a silver trailer, and I pulled in there, and he said, how did you know where I live? He said, God told me. And And so the guy got up, the wife come out of the porch and met him. They hugged and said, he whispered in her ear. She started looking at me weird. And said, I went in and said, y'all sit down. I'm going to talk to you. And said, both of them gave their life to the Lord that day. God is a miracle working God. And when you face your challenge, I don't know if I can get there. I don't know if I can get to the promised land. I don't know if I can embrace the promise. Listen, you can't on your own, but with God, all things are possible. So my addiction, my marriage, my money, my job, my future, God is right in the middle of it. And he can help you. And he wants to help you. He wants to help me. You know, we talk about this, and I'll end with this morning. It's the reason that Israel didn't get there. I think in 40 years, there had to be some conversations between kids and parents. Listen to me. For 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness, and I'm thinking as the kids grew up, they said, Daddy, we've been here before. Mama, we've circled this mountain before. Daddy, I just keep seeing the same old scenery over and over and over again. You know, if you go to a retirement home or nursing home, most people don't have regrets of what they have done. I mean, we all have regrets of what we've done. But you know what most of the regrets are? Of what we didn't do. Man, if I was younger, I'd go back and I'd do this. Or I didn't do this because I was afraid. I didn't do this because I didn't know how it was going to turn out. And I think there were some conversations between sons and daughters and moms and dads. Why are we going in a circle for 40 long years? And I believe the answer was, it's because, baby, we got to a place that we feared more than we had faith, and God sent us right back to the wilderness. I don't want anybody here to come up to the promise of God and you draw back, because God has no pleasure in them who draw back according to his word. But I believe even though it's scary and even though it's a little fearful, we just keep going forward. You know why? Because God, at the first verse, he said, I have given you this land, done deal. Now it's up to you to engage it and embrace it. You see, it wasn't the Amorites who kept them out. It wasn't the Jebusites, the Hittites. It wasn't any of those ites. It wasn't the giants who kept them out. I know what kept them out. You say, Pastor, you know? Yeah, I know. Let me tell you why. I read the word. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of what? Unbelief. Wasn't the giant? What was the excuse? It's the giants. It's the walled cities. It's the Amorites. It's the Hivites. It's the Jebusites. All wrong. You know why they didn't go in? Because of their what? Unbelief. Unbelief creates fear in our life, and it counteracts the faith. But the faith overcomes the fear. John Wayne said this, if you're afraid, saddle up anyway. Isn't that true? So true. I told Pastor Matt a week ago, I was going to preach something else today. True. I already had it in my mind. I'll preach it later. But you know, I believe the Lord changed that for this Sunday morning, because I think somebody here is facing an uncertainty in your life. I don't know what it is, but I'm here to tell you, don't let fear enter in. Keep faith. The God that is in you is bigger than anything you will ever face in your life. I believe that. I believe that. Would you bow your head? We have some people that's going to help us pray, and they're going to come and stand here at the front right now. But I want to say a prayer over you. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to respond, because I think it's important for us to personally come and face what we're facing in faith in God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray over every family, every mom, every dad, every business owner, every person who is in a time of uncertainty in their life. Lord, I want to pray over marriages. God, I want to pray over families. They're facing some very difficult times. And God, I believe you're here to help us. You want to help us. And that's your desire, Lord. So guys, listen. If you're facing something, you're in the middle of something, or you're uncertain about your tomorrow, and you could use God's help, you're at the right place. Today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he died on an old rugged cross, shed his blood. He rose the third day. He now reigns so that you and I can be saved. If you're not saved, there's a horrible ending for you. But once you come to Jesus Christ, heaven can be your home. Today, if you need Jesus or you need to come back to the Lord, maybe you've wandered off, I'm going to ask you right where you sit to lift your hand and say, Pastor Mike, I need some help today. I need to come to the Lord. Thank you. I don't want to miss you. Just lift your hand and say, Pastor Mike, I need to come to the Lord. Thank you. Now, here's one other thing I just want to share with you. If you're facing that challenge, if you're facing that uncertainty, how's it going to turn out? I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and say, Lord, I need your help in my marriage, in my job, in my next move. God, I need your help because I don't know what tomorrow or next week or next month holds. But I believe you're going to be with me. And I'm going to face it with faith and not fear. Several of you raised your hands. Let's all stand right now all over this house. If you raised your hand or if you didn't, I want you to come and stand here. Find somebody to pray with. We're going to pray together. People are coming. Listen, let's give them a hand as they come. Come on, church. Come on, there's room here for you. We want you to come today. I want you to come stand with us. We're going to pray together. We don't want anybody to leave today without some help, because we believe God wants to help you. I'm going to wait for you just for 1 second. People are still coming. If you know how to pray, I'd like for you to come and just stand with somebody, lay your hand on their shoulder. Don't let anyone be by themselves today. Come and gather around them. Let them know that you're going to support them. Come on, church. Let's be the church today. Let's pray for somebody. Hang with us just for a minute. We're going to pray and we're going to ask God to help us, and then we're going to go out for the rest of our day. See you back in the back for some barbecue here in a moment. But let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, you see what we face. God, you see our obstacles. You see our howevers. You see our neverthelesses. God, you see the uncertainty of our future, because we don't know, but you know. And that is certain for us. Father, forgive us of our sins, our shortcomings. Forgive us, Lord, of the things that maybe we failed in, because we know that we're not perfect, but you are our God. You're the God who loves us. You're the God who cares for us. And today, we present ourselves before you and ask for your help. We ask for your strength. And God, we know that you're with us. You are the very present help in our time of trouble. How many of you believe that today? For one last time, I want you to look at me. We're fixed to go out, but let's let the Word of God actually leave with us in our hearts. Say this with me. Our God is a very present help in our time of trouble. Here we go again. Our God is a very present help in time of trouble. You believe that? Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. God bless you.
We are so thankful you joined us today. We would love to hear from you at rayofhopepodcast@gmail.com. Let us know how you were encouraged and how we can pray for you. Remember, Christ in you is the hope of glory, and hope changes everything.